Andrew, good morning.
Hey, Tess, how are you?
I'm good. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, so something of a departure for us this week, Tess. So far in the book club, we've explored exclusively fiction and predominantly Australian authors. In fact, except for last week where we looked a little bit at The Handmaid's Tale, which was Margaret Atwood's novel, we have been looking exclusively at Australian authors. Today, however, we're going to look into a memoir that was released last week. Behrouz Behchani's No Friend But the Mountains is certainly not fiction, despite what I'm sure so many in the government might want us to believe. And while the author is a Kurdish poet and philosopher, this book is certain to take its place amongst Australian writing, and perhaps to our greater shame. The cover of No Friend But the Mountains is striking for the unrelenting gaze of Behrouz Behchani, his eyes perhaps searching, perhaps accusing. The subtitle, Writings from Manus Prison, tells you much of what you need to know about this book and its contents. Just a note here on our chat. Throughout the book, Behrouz refers to his location, where he is still at the moment as we speak, as Manus Prison. So I'm going to continue using that convention throughout our chat, and I think let people decide the veracity of it. I think there's merit to it. So the story is straightforward and perhaps too well known. Behrouz arrived by boat via Indonesia, having fled Iran. He, amongst many others, were taken to Christmas Island and then imprisoned on Manus Island. The story may be straightforward, but it's by no means simple, as Behrouz explores the situation of detention, the debasement of bodies and minds as part of indefinite imprisonment. The book is not—it's not just a recount of the events of Behrouz's journey from Manus, to Manus Prison. In fact, his journey and subsequent transfer to Manus—they occupy the initial stages of the book, before he's imprisoned, and then the story shifts to delve into the effect of imprisonment and its toll not only on those inside the prison, but the native Papuans working at the prison and the Australians employed as guards, medical staff, and officials. Now, an important concept in Behrouz's exploration and the story of Manus Prison is kyriarchy and the kyriarchal system. Behrouz uses the framework of the kyriarchal system to explore the interplay of power within Manus Prison and how the asylum seekers themselves are actually made complicit in their own imprisonment. So just to kind of a quick catch up and note on definitions, kyriarchy and the kyriarchal system are concepts first coined in a book in 2001, I think, by feminist scholar Elizabeth Schlosser Fiorenza to refer to complex and intersecting social structures that work to entrench systems of rule and oppression. So within Manus Prison, Behrouz explores the ways that relations between individuals and groups, so these are individuals who are asylum seekers within the prisons, individuals, relationships between guards and prisoners, cleaners and prisoners, but then also groups within the prison, the way people might group based around nationality, the way people are grouped by being asylum seekers or guards, the way these individuals and groups, their groupings are enacted to entrench not only bodily imprisonment, their bodies are imprisoned, they can't leave. I think it's Fox Camp is where Behrouz is imprisoned, but also the wearing down of individual freedoms, the interplay of two souls, effectively, the way we relate as people. So that's the kyriarchal system, and that's about as theoretical as I want to get in today's book club, because while I do want everyone to understand the gravity of this work, this is not a simple recollection of events. This is an exploration of the way those events have shaped Behrouz, the way they are shaping the individuals involved, but then also the broader implications of our society. I want everyone to understand that. I also want to highlight the beauty and lyricism of Behrouz's writing. So the text offers this really subtle interplay of poetry and prose. Behrouz is a poet. He's a beautiful writer. Many people may have discovered his writing through places like The Guardian. And it's used to evoke this ebbing of sadness, of joy, memory, and present reality. And this is really Behrouz invoking his imprisonment. I definitely should mention here the translator, Omid Tufijian. And apologies to Omid if I hope I've pronounced his surname correctly. Omid has transformed Beru's original Kurdish text in such wonderful ways. So Beru's, if you've seen interviews, he speaks amazing English, but Kurdish is... he has written the text in. The text was also collated and pieced together. I'm not sure if you've heard this story.
No. Tess,
through messages, like WhatsApp messages, through conversations, Skype conversations, and smuggled out of Manus. The collection of this work is a story in itself, and to rival any sort of prison memoir. So the overall effect of No Friend But the Mountains is really hard to describe. Because at times I was truly uplifted reading Beru's beautiful evocation of place or memory. I was also horrified, though, and shamed by the situations that he describes, particularly because those situations are enacted at the hands of Australia. This is because of policies that were put in place. And he is very aware of this and very conscious of the fact that he arrived, I think, on Christmas Island. So his boat, the boat that he was on, sank. They were rescued. Arrived on Christmas Island something like 4 days after the policy that Kevin Rudd put in place. Something else to remember.
Yeah.
both sides of the government are complicit here. So I really wanted the book club, though. I wanted to focus on the literary merits of this work. And there is so much to it, from the philosophical underpinnings and investigation to the lyricism, the beauty of the prose, the way Beru's is able to evoke a scene and situation. I haven't even mentioned, I'm going to quickly mention, the way he draws on literary traditions in Farsi, which I don't even fully understand, but I'm coming to understand as I read the book. I didn't want it to become overly political, but reading No Friend But the Mountains is in and of itself pretty much a political act. And any conversation cannot fail but to skirt these sort of political issues. So I heard said around the time of the Thai cave rescue, if we cast our minds back, it wasn't that long ago, that the world resonated so strongly with that story because we could see what was happening. We were bombarded with visuals of the boys and the efforts to freedom. The complete opposite is true of the more than 1,000 people, more than 100 of whom are children in Australia's offshore detention system. Those figures are obtained from the Refugee Council website, if anyone wants to check up on them. These people are hidden from public view, with the media often blocked from accessing them. No Friend But the Mountains is one way to lift the veil of the situation of people seeking asylum in Australia. It's a chance to engage in what's happening in the Australian offshore detention regime and come to understand or have some understanding of the consequences of what's being done in our name. So maybe that's the only reason to read it. I think there are so many others. I hope I've given the listener some. This is a book. I feel like this is a book that you're going to hear people say is a must read. And those people are probably the people that have already approached some of these issues in their own thinking. And other people are going to try and dismiss this book. It is a must read. I think it's one of the reasons I like to do what I do on Final Draft and coming to talk to you, Tess, because when you help someone discover a book like this, you have the chance to change their thinking, to maybe even change their life about a particular issue. And I think that's what Behrouz Behçani's book, No Friend But the Mountains, can do.
And when you said that you were going to talk about this, I didn't really know what to expect, but I think I was more expecting just a straight recollection of events, but it sounds, you know, so much more.
It really is. Some really interesting things. So names are not omitted. He gives sort of character evocations to name people, and the few names that we do get in the book are the people that are well known. So he does that. He takes that convention to protect people. The few names that we know are men that have died on Manus. He does use their names because he feels it's important for us to understand. And this is all detailed in Omid's translator's notes. But he evokes a situation I come back to this word lyrically. He gives us a chance to experience through his evocation. It's not simply this happened. I feel like if he had done that, it would have actually allowed the reader to put themselves at a distance from events. But the way he can move between a description of a situation to a very visceral moment of being in the situation. I've recently been reading a discussion around the toilet blocks in the Fox compound. I hope I'm getting that right. And it's shocking and it's horrible. And it's all the more so for the language and ability that Beruz has to create these very putrid scenes. And that's, yeah, that's something of this book, because it takes you there. It takes you to a place you never want to be, physically and, I guess intellectually.
It's definitely one that is going on my list. Do we have any idea what we're taking a look at next week?
Just before we got on here to chat, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to talk about next week? I spent a lot of time, spent so much time thinking about this one. I have started a new book. I'm only a little way in, but it's already exciting me. It's called A Superior Spectre. It's by Angela Meyer. She's a Melbourne-based author. This book has just come out. And look, I'm going to say Scottish Highlands. I'm going to say psychic time travel and real questions about the way we live. I hope that's enough of a teaser for you.
I am thoroughly on board. Thanks, Andrew.
Pleasure.